Today, in honor of the Jewish High Holy Days and the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I share a tale by the great Jewish humorist Sam Levinson. He described the immigrant experience in this way. My folks were immigrants and they fell under the spell of the American legend that the streets of America were paved with gold. When my father got here, though, he found out three things. First, he saw that the streets were not paved with gold. The second thing he noticed was that the streets were not even paved. And last, but not least, he discovered that he was the one expected to do the paving. And that is the case for so many of us who wish to realize a dream, whether we're talking about our country, our world, our communities, our faith, or our relationships. There's the dream of what might be, the hope, the vision that we aspire to and yearn for, the road paved with gold. And then there's the reality of what it actually is. Streets not paved with gold, in fact, not paved at all. And finally, there's the work that needs to be done to turn the reality into the dream, to make life more beautiful for everyone. And we all need help with the paving to create that world that we want. Now, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was such an amazing example of that. She had a strong vision of a beautiful world with equality and dignity for all, and she fought tirelessly to create that world she and many of us dream about. May we continue building on her vision. Likewise, in Unitarian Universalism, we have a beautiful faith tradition that is filled with promise and vision, a faith that for many centuries has inspired us to question, to be at the forefront of social justice movements, and to push the boundaries of conventional wisdom and religion. In 1961, when the two separate religious traditions of Unitarianism and Universalism combined, we broke ground in merging two unique histories and religious traditions to form one. We demonstrated what unity and oneness might look like. Both faiths valued theological growth and transformation, justice, equity, and compassion for all, as well as diversity and inclusion. And together we created our seven principles, which have as their cornerstone honoring the inherent worth and dignity of every person, as well as respecting the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. These principles have laid the foundation of our dream of a world of community with peace, liberty and justice for all, while offering space for a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. These principles give us a vision of a world that is welcoming to all, democratic, inclusive, equitable, and loving. It's a beautiful vision, isn't it? It's our road paved with gold, or rather, our road paved with love for all people. Many are drawn to our faith because of its promises of freedom for all, freedom of belief, freedom from the shackles that hold so many of us back, freedom from cruelty and oppression, freedom for all souls. Our road made of love and freedom leads to a world filled with joy, grace, and hope. A beautiful paradise here on earth, which many of our Unitarian and Universalist ancestors were trying to build. This is the dream of what might be, the hope and vision that we aspire to and yearn for as Unitarian Universalists. But the reality, my friends, you guessed it, is a little different. We're human, after all, with our perfect imperfections. So rather than achieving paradise on earth, the reality is that we've been struggling for decades, if not centuries, to create a faith that is truly inclusive, diverse, and equitable for all. We've been struggling to fully let love lead the way. We've been struggling to offer liberation and respect for all. We've sometimes been trapped in intellectualism and individualism, in perfectionism and the structures of white supremacy culture that underpin our society. And for those of you who struggle with the concept of white supremacy culture, it's basically that our society, from the time of colonizers on, has been set up to privilege people with white skin, to accord white people more advantages and superiority, or indeed to have the assurance that the color of their skin is not a barrier to their success. And this has been evident throughout our country's institutions for over 400 years now, in social, educational, legal, religious, and political systems. This has been obvious through enslavement, through Jim Crow laws, through mass incarceration, inequitable schooling, housing, finances, and the media, as well as through racial profiling and biased policing. But as Unitarian Universalists, we always try. We keep trying. We face difficulties again and again, and we keep learning and transforming and moving forward, because that's who we are. In the 1960s, we worked hard to be at the forefront of the civil rights movement, and many of us were. Unitarians, Reverend James Reeb and Viola Lutzow, even died for their advocacy. But we still had difficulty as an association to really empower the people of color in our midst, which at that time was a much higher percentage than it is now. And so many beautiful souls who loved our liberating theology and thought they'd found a home here left, tragically. In fact, it was said that Martin Luther King Jr. was very interested in Unitarian Universalism, but that ultimately he didn't feel like he could really belong. So how do we create a faith where all can truly belong? Whether you're able-bodied or not, whether you're LGBTQ+, or you're Black or Indigenous, or you're an atheist or a Muslim or Jewish or Hindu or spiritual but not religious. A faith united by our differences, bound by our desire for freedom and equity for all, and joined together by love. Well, we're working on it. This is why in 2017, the Unitarian Universalist Association created a commission on institutional change to examine how we can transform our institution and faith from the inside out, to better live into our dreams and values. Our intentions are there. Our dream is visible. Our arms are open, but the actions to make that dream happen needed to be fleshed out. So this year at the 2020 General Assembly, the Commission shared their findings and recommendations about how we can transform and renew our faith to truly embody the beloved community that Martin Luther King and so many others have envisioned. In their commission's book, Widening the Circle of Concern, they tell us that making these changes will allow us to stay relevant. Addressing these issues will allow us to live into the theology that we profess. And furthermore, if we are committed to this work as central to our faith, we will create the conditions in which all who are attracted to the theological premises of our faith can thrive. Love and inclusion, welcoming all, is at the core of our faith as Unitarian Universalists. It's the way we aim to live out our spiritual values. And we often sing the words of Rumi, come, come, whoever you are. But our tribal base natures as human beings, our reptilian brains, can sometimes make this a hard vision to achieve. Across the world, we see an increasing divide into tribalism, nationalism, and exclusionary policies, which makes what we're trying to achieve as Unitarian Universalists even more challenging and aspirational, and radically countercultural. Statistics are showing that most churches are declining, but that congregations which are truly multicultural and inclusive are on the rise and poised for growth. One lay member interviewed for the report said, "We need to focus on racial equity and really seek out the voices of those who have not been present in our congregations, people from marginalized groups, especially in terms of race, and really to begin to co-create with people from those marginalized groups to create a new kind of culture." Creating a new kind of culture is a hard, yet a worthy endeavor. And the work needs to begin within ourselves. We need to create a welcoming, inclusive, open-hearted culture inside every one of us so that we can genuinely create it in the world around us. And I speak from experience. Growing up in a judgmental, Germanic culture, I heard constant criticisms. People were too fat or too lazy or too stupid or too uncivilized or too dark-skinned. It was a demanding, judgmental environment in which anyone who wasn't the German ideal of perfect was denigrated. Now, this is one of the characteristics of white supremacy culture, that there is one correct, superior way of being. No doubt a cultural remnant from Hitler's times, probably going back many generations in Germany. But part of my life's spiritual and psychological work has been to dismantle those norms within myself, hard as it's been, to not believe those judgments, to not give them power, to not silently concur. I noticed how much they harmed my own psyche, so I can only imagine how much they hurt those around me. And it may sound odd to frame it in this way, but blessedly, in hindsight, I experienced a lot of bullying in my childhood, and this actually helped awaken me in the midst of my privileged upbringing and grow my sensitivity to what it's like to be an outsider. And I've been passionate about bringing people together and advocating for the underdog ever since. The culture in which we're raised is deeply embedded within us. It's a powerful, subconscious imprint. If we really want to be woke, as the contemporary term implies, we must choose to become aware of our unconscious biases. We can't fix what we are unaware is broken. It's only when we awaken and become conscious of it that the possibility of true change exists. That's why learning as much as we can about our unconscious prejudices, about how white supremacy culture impacts us all, is so important. Systemic privilege and systemic racism are both subconscious imprints that we're all prey to in one way or another. And this is why I encourage all of you to take programs like Beloved Conversations, a racial justice program, and to work with organizations like Showing Up for Racial Justice to allow awareness to grow and unlearn what so many of us learned as children. It wasn't until I discovered Unitarian Universalism that I really felt at home and welcomed for exactly who I am. That all the parts of me I believed were less than perfect and unlovable were embraced and accepted wholeheartedly. I felt such a strong sense of welcome in this faith, it literally changed my life. In that loving and compassionate embrace, I learn every day from colleagues and from you, our congregants. You all teach me so much by who you are. How you try, even when it's hard, how you transform and show up day in and day out. I'm learning how to keep opening my heart and my arms to those who are different from the way I was told was right. And that is the kind of welcoming, embracing culture that I'm committed to offering others. It's a life-saving gift that I hope we can continue to grow in our congregation and beyond. But there's more we need to do to pave our road with love. The Commission encourages us to become aware of the individualism that is often found in Unitarian Universalism, to balance that with our communal, covenantal values. Now, of course, individualism was encouraged in the theology of Unitarian ministers and transcendentalists in the early 1800s, like Ralph Waldo Emerson in his essay, Self-Reliance. The transcendentalists encouraged people to develop personal religious views, interpreting the Bible by themselves rather than waiting for others to do so. And that was important at the time, and a development that led to questioning, self-empowerment, and growth in Unitarianism. But the Commission warns us that when individualism is not balanced with the communal good, individualism can become toxic to our religious community. Our congregations must center themselves in the communal, they say, in the communal and the covenantal, and not primarily in the comfort and familiarity of a social club. It's why I constantly remind us to look for the good of the whole above the good of the individual. It's why we emphasize our covenant of good relations in our congregation and make it an important part of membership. Being right or having a righteous individual opinion is less important than the good of the whole. How we treat one another is vital, my friends, if we are to embody the love we profess as a faith. Finally, the Commission tells us that continued learning and evolution should be the goal of all of us as Unitarian Universalists. Now, as many of you know, one of the beautiful aspects of our faith is that revelation is not sealed. And this means that we have no final fixed theology or dogma that tells us how things are to be in perpetuity. Our faith, our tenets, who we are, is constantly changing and evolving. In fact, as we speak, there's a new 2-year study group working on recreating our 7 principles to be even more in line with our times and reflect our faith more fully as it currently aspires to be. So even our 7 principles are not set in stone. They are not creedal or something that we need to believe or repeat. They evolve as we evolve. But our underlying values require us all to keep growing, to challenge ourselves, to uncover our unconscious prejudices and work towards this beautiful world we envision with peace, liberty, justice, and compassion for all. This is how we pave our road with love, my friends. We open our hearts and prioritize inclusion, diversity, and equity. We practice self-awareness and mindfulness while remaining humble and open to learning. We make amends to those we have harmed. We work for the good of the whole over the individual, honoring our covenants and mutuality. And we continue to learn and evolve together, transforming ourselves for the highest flourishing of all humanity and the planet. This is how we navigate these challenging times together, empowered and harmoniously. This is how we fulfill the dream of the beloved community and the promise of our Unitarian Universalist faith. If we were in our beautiful sanctuary now, you'd see the words on the wall. We nurture spiritually courageous people who transform the world through justice and compassion. Remember our beautiful mission, my beloveds? This is our calling. And our board this year summed up this work well with the goal to lead with love. I love that. Isn't it wonderful? To lead with love. So what does it mean to lead with love? Well, this year the board has decided it means undertaking meaningful, deep community development in these strange dystopian times of virtual gathering. It means deepening our understanding of anti-racism and racial justice as part of our spiritual practices and faith. And it means moving toward long-term financial stability so that we can continue to share our message of justice and compassion. The whole board, your wonderful, enthusiastic, committed board, is reading and discussing the entire report of the commission. And I invite you to join us in reading it. The book, Widening the Circle of Concern, is available at this link, which is going to be put in your chat box now. In closing, Reverend Natalie Fenimore, who was one of the members of the commission, shared a story about Shirley Chisholm. When Chisholm was asked why she, a Black woman, was running for president, she was told, "Oh, you don't have a chance. Why are you doing that?" And she said, "Because I am in love with the America that does not yet exist." Let me say that again. I am in love with the America that does not yet exist. And that's how Unitarian Universalism is also, says Fenimore. I'm in love with the Unitarian Universalism that does not yet exist, but I have to hold both the love for that thing and the love for the reality, and that's why I'm fighting, she said. And that's especially poignant right now, isn't it? My beloveds, let us join together in this struggle for a more beautiful world and faith in which we are all respected and loved. Let us join together to honor the legacy of Ruth Bader Ginsburg and create a more equitable world for all, never giving up. Let us join together to work for the highest good of all, to keep growing and evolving together. And let us join together to make this promise, this dream, this vision, a reality. This is purposeful work. This is work worthy of your life's energy. This is how we renew our own purpose in life, as well as the promises of our faith. Will you join me? May it be so. Amen.